Thanks, Megan. And thank you to everybody that's been sharing tonight. As I was preparing my message for tonight, I realised I might only have a little amount of time. And that's very much the case. John Duckett and I are going to fall out by the end of today. He had a little stab this morning, and I still love him. But if he carries on, I'm going to have words with him. The question I want to put to you tonight is, what has God said to you? And I found it interesting because, as I mentioned before, I said to all the youth one thing that God has said to you this week. And it's just fantastic that none of them could keep it to just one specific thing. Because actually, he's been doing and saying a lot more for them. But what I want us just to do is having heard that passage, is look at just some key questions that I think all of us can think about and actually apply to ourselves. And maybe you're here tonight and you might be thinking, God has never actually said anything to me. And so a question I want to put to you is, have you actually been in a place to hear him? And what we've already heard tonight is that people of every age group and every generation have either been all the way down to London to the O2 Arena and been with 15,000 other people for 3 days and heard from God there, or even as they are now, have been camped in a very small field on the Clyn Peninsula in North Wales, doing great stuff and having a great time, but still hearing God whilst they're camping in a tent. But have you been in a place to hear from him yourself? Because sometimes for some of us, it might actually mean in our busy schedules, we've actually got to forcibly chisel out some time where we actually say, I am going to spend time with God. I am going to share what's on my heart, and I'm going to be open to what he wants to say to me. Because when we look at that passage in Acts, what we see is that as Peter is traveling along, he gets to a place where he goes up onto a rooftop because he knows he needs to spend time with God the Father. And so he, even though he's got a schedule and he's on a journey, he goes onto the rooftop to speak to and hear from God for himself. And we also know that Cornelius prayed to God regularly. On the one hand, you've got Peter, who is an apostle. He has walked and talked and sat and eaten and drank with Jesus Christ. He has had that personal relationship. On the other hand, you've got Cornelius, who is a Roman army officer, a captain of the Italian regiment. These guys are poles apart in society, and yet they are both people who are wanting to hear from God and actually spend time with him. No matter what else is going on, they know that that is important. So have you been in a place to hear him? And for you, it might actually mean having a place and even maybe a particular chair that you know when you sit there, there is a reason why you're sitting there. I know of somebody who has one particular armchair. The only time they sit there is to read the Bible and pray to God. They don't sit. Other people in the household can do that, sit there whenever they want. But they know for them, this one particular place is the place where they will sit to hear from and learn from God. And I just think that is brilliant. What is it for you that will make you be ready to hear from him? And I don't think it's just about having a physical space. It's about allowing God space in our thoughts and our hearts as well. We can be in the right place at the right time, but have the wrong attitude and just have so much going on in our hearts and our minds at that moment that we won't actually hear what God wants to say because we've got so much else going on. And also there's the time where, if you remember when Elijah the prophet was in hiding and God asked him, "What are you doing here?" And for many of us, there can be times where we have seen God do so many great things and doing, you know, we can have done, had such a great ministry and everything else. And I just love the fact that Elijah responds with, "I have been very zealous. I have been really passionate for you, God, in the past. I have seen this happen. I've done this and everything else." That wasn't the question. God is saying, "What are you doing here at this moment in this time?" God's wanting us to be open and honest with him so that we might be in a place where we can actually hear from him. And then another question is, have you actually recognized his voice? And in many ways, I'm jealous because of Peter and Cornelius, because both of them, as they're praying, they get a vision, an amazing visions of God. And for Cornelius, it was an angel that told him what he had to do. For Peter, in this instance, it's a blanket that is covered in all kinds of animals, and he gets told to eat. And then he's told, "Do not call something unclean that God has made clean." And he doesn't get it. And he's shown this vision three times and he still doesn't get it. In the Bible it says he's perplexed. This is a man who's walked and talked with Jesus throughout his ministry. And God has now shown him this vision and he hasn't got a clue really what he doesn't understand what he's just seen. And he's probably saying, "Right, God, okay. Maybe I've already eaten something that I shouldn't, or maybe I'm really that hungry that I'm just having weird dreams." Visions are often divine encouragement and direction to individuals and the church in extending God's mission through us. And while Peter's still trying to work it out, he's given instruction by the Holy Spirit that he's to go with the men that God has already sent to him. And he's to go without objection, even though these men are completely alien to him. These guys are Gentiles. They are not Jews. But God is telling him, just go with these men. And he's obedient to that. But then there's another question I want to put you is, have you actually spoken to him? Have you spoken to God? Have you actually taken that time to actually talk to God about what's going on in your life? Because we see that both of these men were committed to regular prayer. They both spent time with God. And I'm sure it was in the good times and the bad times as well, that whatever else was going on in their lives, they knew and understood that they could go and meet with God. And I just think it's incredible that each and every one of us can have an opportunity to speak to the Creator of all things, to speak to a God who knows us better than we know ourselves, can speak to someone who loves us so much that he gave his Son for you and for me. Isn't that surely someone worth talking to? That if God is there and wants to talk to us, why is it, and I don't know if you find, we find so many other things to keep us busy and so many things that we are wanting to do for him rather than spend time with him. So then we see that Peter shares the gospel. And it puts, I think, as Peter stood there in front of these men, and he's already saying to them, if you read it just in the few verses before the passage that we heard from, Peter goes inside and finds this large gathering of people. And he says to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or even visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising an objection." And they say, "So why did you send me?" And Cornelius, as we heard, explains why. And then Peter says, "Okay, let me explain something to you. I now understand that God doesn't show favoritism. And this is why I'm here today." And he shares, he puts into words the work that God has already been doing in the lives of those people there and in Cornelius. And everyone in his household can now begin to understand what has already, God has already been doing in their lives. And I also think, in terms of understanding, it includes Peter, that he's on a steep learning curve too. Before this moment, he's believed that this message that God has given him to share is for his fellow Jews, and that everyone should step in line with them. And at this moment, God's saying, this message is for everyone. I have no real favorites. I want everyone to respond to this message. And so everyone can now understand what God has done and he's doing, so that they are in a place to receive the Holy Spirit for themselves. Folks, I think we must make sure that we are people who are longing to and seeking to hear from God. But not just hear from him, act upon what he says to us as well. That we should be people who are have this longing to hear from God. But when we hear from him, be willing and obedient to actually act on what it is. Because every message I believe that he has for us means that we have to make a response in some way. It might mean doing something. It might mean going and saying something to someone. But we must be willing to be obedient to what he wants to do in and through us. But also, I think it means we must be prepared to face criticism as well. Because if you read further on in the chapter, Peter has to then go to Jerusalem and give an account to his peers and to the other Jewish believers as to what the heck has just happened. Because what we see is the Holy Spirit, as these people in Cornelius' house hear his message, before he's finished speaking, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And what we see in that moment is the church as we know it today starts. We are here today because what God did all those years ago, that Peter was obedient and the other apostles were obedient to what God was saying to them. And though even though it didn't fit in their box or their mindset, they were willing to go out and step out in faith. And so Peter now has to stand in front of everybody else in Jerusalem and give an account. And he's true to what had happened. And he gives a truthful account of what took place. And I love what he says at the end of it. After he's told them everything of what God has done by the Holy Spirit in Cornelius and his household and everybody gathered there, that the Holy Spirit broke out as he was sharing the gospel with them. He says these words, "Who am I to stand in God's way?" I find for myself, there are often times I have an agenda of what I want to see God do, of how I think God should work in and through this church, in my life, in my household, and in this city. And sometimes God speaks and you see things happening and you think, is that really of God or not? And there are times where I actually say to myself, who am I that I'm going to actually be the one that stands in the way of what God might want to do? Who am I that I would actually stand in the way of God moving? When I heard John saying, oh, why don't we take over the MEN in 10 years? I'm thinking, oh my word. And then I just suddenly thought, who am I to stand in the way? If that's what John believes God wants to do through him or through whoever else that's crazy enough, who are we to stand in the way? That, as Angela was saying, we should be people who are willing to encourage and take steps of faith to see what God could actually achieve. Whether it's through our young people or our not so young people, we need to be people who are hearing what he's doing. I was doing a wedding here yesterday, and I would say about 80%, if not more, of the people at the wedding yesterday would not normally be seen dead in the church. They had no real experience. I mean, 15 minutes before the wedding was due to start, there were three people in here, and I was one of them. Everybody else was outside. And as I'm standing at the front, and you know, you're kind of looking around the room, there were certain people that caught my eye. And there's one guy in particular, and just the way he was dressed, his hairstyle and everything else, I just looked at him and just the look on his face, and I just thought, this guy would rather be anywhere else on the planet except sat in church on a Saturday afternoon. And all the way through, and I did a short message and just, you know, try to just, and it was a really quick service. I didn't want any hymns or anything like that. It was probably the fastest wedding service I've ever done. It was unbelievably quick. Within about 35 minutes, we were signing the register. It was nearly all over. And after the service, most people were going out for a smoke. And then they went out to do photographs at the far end of the car park, which to me seemed a bit strange. But anyway, and so I kind of was hanging around and just chatting to people. And as everybody was leaving, this guy with all the Mohican haircut and everything else walked straight at me. And I'm thinking, here we go. I'm either going to get a mouthful or something. And he held out his hand. And so I shook it. And he put his other hand on it. And he squeezed really tightly. And he just said, I just want to say that service was lovely. And I went, sorry? He said, that service was really, really good. I really appreciate everything you did. And I was like, God, I'm sorry. For even just thinking that this guy was not interested. And I don't know where he's at or what's going on in his life or whatever else. And the reason I'm telling you this is this. As Hazel's mentioned, we are going to two services. We will see, well, my hope and prayer is we will see people coming in through these doors who do not fit church stereotype of whatever. That what we are actually, what I pray that we will be is people who welcome them. People who love them the way that God loves them. That we would be people that if we hear God speaking to us to say, go and talk to that person, we would not be scared, but we would actually do what God calls us to do. But first of all, there might be this sense of, and I've nearly finished, well, we've got to ask ourselves a question. What is there in me that stops me from hearing or seeing or believing in what God is doing and wanting to do in and through me? But also, I think for some of us, it might be a case of not letting our work for God stand in the way or hinder the work of God in us or the ministry of his church. That for some of us there may be a danger that we get so caught up in the doing, we forget about who we actually are. And that what we actually need to do is chisel out those moments where we are willing to spend time listening and waiting for the voice of God. So what has God said to you? What is God saying to you right now? What are you going to do about it? Bless you.